News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. We're really glad you're with us, and if you want to chime in, give us a call, 651-989-5855.
Looking at a tweet, Amy Fahrenkampf writes this: I've known Brett Kavanaugh for 32 years, since I was 13 years old. He was the brother my sisters and I never had. We are so proud of him and his accomplishments. He is a brilliant, kind, considerate man. He does not deserve to have his good name ruined. It's pretty. I don't know what the word is. There's a lot of people that know Brett Kavanaugh and have for a lot of years,
yep,
who are coming out and defending him and his character in light of this accusation. And it's funny, a sort of a new angle when we bring Jeff O'Brien on, but I do find this interesting. It's perfectly acceptable to believe Keith Ellison and not believe Karen Monahan,
mm-hmm,
but apparently it's right, not appropriate or acceptable to believe Kavanaugh.
Yeah, with Karen Monahan, we demand the video. And we are skeptical, and we think it's a just political smear job, ignoring the fact that she's like an uber liberal, right? She's like a hardcore leftist, but we just call it, we assume it's a political smear job because Karen Monahan, for some reason, really wants Doug Wardlow to be the attorney general.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, barring the video, we are supposed to just accept that it's a political smear job when it comes to Monahan's accusations against Ellison. But when Ford recalls a drunken event from 35 years ago, we're supposed to just take that at face value.
Maybe Kavanaugh, there was that other person that was allegedly there. Maybe Kavanaugh needs to take the stance that, hey, you know what? Something did happen. We got it on Super 8. I don't know where the footage is now, but if you can find that film reel, you know, then we're good.
And good.
It'll prove exactly what happened.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, good morning.
Good morning.
You're a lawyer. You deal with you deal with evidence and accusations and allegations and having to corroborate claims. You know, if you were to weigh what we know and the evidence that has been provided when it comes to Monahan's accusations against Keith Ellison's, against Ford's accusations from Kavanaugh, which case would you feel more comfortable going to court with?
I'm much more comfortable defending Judge Kavanaugh than I am Congressman Ellison.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, this, first of all, you know, any allegation of sexual assault or attempted sexual assault should be taken seriously. I think Chuck Grassley did the right thing. Senator Grassley did the right thing in scheduling a public hearing to give both parties the chance to, you know, the Professor Ford to say what she has to say about the allegations, and to give the judge a chance to respond. But her attorney over the weekend on talk shows was saying she was willing to publicly testify. But now we don't want to testify, it's too soon, and we need the FBI to investigate. And I think about half an hour ago, Lindsey Graham tweeted, I think he sums it up perfectly, he said, requiring an FBI investigation of a 36-year-old allegation without specific references to time or location before Professor Ford will appear before the Judiciary Committee is not about finding the truth, but delaying the process till after the midterm elections.
Yeah.
It's so transparent.
I mean, that's what this is about.
It's so transparent. Yeah, it's unbelievably transparent, you know. And when Ford's lawyers came out and said, you know, well, she's not going to testify until there's an FBI investigation, that sealed the deal for me. You know, any benefit of the doubt that I was willing to give, not Ford herself, but sort of Ford's camp, right? And the tactics that they're using, any benefit of the doubt I was willing to give them flew out the window when they said, no, she's not going to testify without an FBI investigation, because clearly an FBI investigation is going to take a fair amount of time. And as we mentioned earlier, and as John asked, what are they going to investigate?
Yeah, the FBI, I'm glad you bring that up, Drew. The FBI has no jurisdiction to investigate this. There isn't any allegation of any federal crime or anything that the FBI would investigate. You know, the Senator Feinstein was making parallels to President George H.W. Bush calling for an FBI investigation back during the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill drama. But the key distinction is the allegation was between an EEOC employee and another, and her supervisor. So it was a federal agency, it was a federal department, where, yeah, the FBI has jurisdiction to investigate. They've done 6 background checks on this man. I don't know what else they're going to do to investigate him.
And it seems so clear to me, and I think to everybody, what's going on here. And I think this is more nuanced, Jeff, and I know that, but we all know that if you turn the situation around, we don't even have this discussion. If you look at the relevant evidence that's been laid out, if you switch the political parties around, then you end up getting the rational discussion and the clarity. It's not taken seriously, given everything that points to how this is nothing more than a tactic to stall this nomination process. I imagine if I were a lawyer, I'd just sit back and just be going, this is so stupid. Stupid. This is an affront to what I do for a living.
It's coming close. I mean, you know, to sit on, to have Senator Feinstein sit on this letter supposedly for, you know, 2 months, and go through hearings with Judge Kavanaugh, and then now to bring this up after, you know, when they're moving towards a confirmation vote, you can only suggest there's one of 3 motives. One, delay his confirmation until after the, you know, the October 1st start of the new Supreme Court term, so he's not involved with some of the decisions. 2, to keep the some of the Democrats running for re-election in Trump states in the Senate, for the Senate, from having to vote on this. Or 3, operating under a delusion, even looking at the math, that the Democrats would retake the Senate and have a way of blocking his nomination altogether. Any one of those doesn't benefit anyone other than Democrats.
I wanted to ask you while we got you, shifting topics back to the Ellis and Monahan situation. We talked last segment about how Alpha News is requesting that the divorce records of Keith Ellison be unsealed, saying there's a compelling public interest there. He is running for attorney general, and the precedent of previous divorce records being unsealed, and specifically in the instance of Prince, didn't have nearly as much of a compelling public interest. Your thoughts on this move? Do you think they will be successful in their request? Do you think they should be successful in their request?
I don't know if it'll be successful. I question what they're looking for, just because, I mean, I don't handle divorce cases, but I've seen enough divorce records to know that there's not much there. You know, you don't have to specify out a, you know, specific reason for a divorce. It's just, you know, irreconcilable differences. So, you know, but if tax records are legitimate fodder for campaigns now, the Democrats have been griping about President Trump's tax records, then I guess let's unseal all court records, including divorce and everything else, and this is where we're going, I guess, then it's all, everything's fair game. It's kind of sad and shameful that we've got to this point, that we're no longer, you know, we've gotten to this level of character assassination.
Yeah, the example they gave, they say the Minnesota media is usually not shy about asking for such things. As Drew said, the Star Tribune expended time and money to get the Prince divorce records unsealed. They were successful. They said apart from clicks, Alpha News didn't see much news value in the effort, but it's telling that even there, where only... there was only just the sort of curious interest. The court granted the newspaper's request. They also talk about the several Minnesota media outlets that joined forces to compel the public release of documents relating to the tragic disappearance and murder of Jacob Wetterling. And they do say that the family's inner life and dynamics and information about Jacob's parents were assured to be kept confidential. But it is coming out now. The material is set for public release 2 days from now. So they're using sort of those examples as to the justification for asking for Keith Ellison's divorce records to be unsealed, and also saying that I guess Doug Wardlow has similar records that are also available to the public.
Correct.
So it sounds to me like this has less to do with the you know, anything that might be in the records that would be negative towards Keith Ellison, and more towards Alpha News showing the bias of the Star Tribune and some of the other media outlets that were asking for all these records unsealed in other cases. Why wouldn't they ask for his divorce records to be unsealed?
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate your expertise.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. I'm good.
Speaking of bias, we will get into the Star Tribune article. Minnesota poll, Keith Ellison holds slim lead over Attorney General's race, and even a story just about polling, they couldn't help but show their bias. We'll also break down the four ways that the Democrats plan to derail the nomination of Kavanaugh will most likely end up backfiring. Miss any